This is Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care and the Pickering House, serving Fairfield, Hocking, Perry, and Athens counties. Now, here's Denise Bauer.
Hello and welcome. My name is Rick Schneider. I am the community educator of Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care. Denise is not able to make it this afternoon, so I am going to fill in for ably if I can. And with me to help me fill in ably is our Fairhope's grief counselor for children, if I can word it that way.
You give me any title that works, as long as we put children in there. Would you like my name?
No, everybody knows. Everybody knows who Tracy is. We don't have to go that far. Tracy Miller.
Yes. Now we know who I am.
There we go. Welcome to the show. Yeah, I've heard you with many titles, and they all deal with children. You help children grieving, and they don't necessarily have to be involved with hospice.
Correct. We at Fairhope will support any child or family who has experienced the death of a loved one.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, you were supporting people over the weekend.
We had a powerful weekend at the Pickering House. It was the end of our grief season, as we call it. We tend to run them on school year season. So as we know, folks are getting ready to go back to a new school year. We were finishing up our grief season. And we had a family gathering at the Pickering House for families that we have worked with. And we had lots of food, lots of fun, lots of fellowship.
I was hoping to be there when you said the food, and I was not able to make it. I have volunteered at the camps, and it is really is a tremendous experience. But in this situation, were the children there, were they involved, you said, in hospice or not in hospice?
All of the families that came to, we invited a number of families, but those who were able to attend the picnic were those who are not involved in the grief camps that we do three times a year at Fairfield Medical Center. But they were children that we have supported at the family level. And so we had an opportunity for these families where I say, would you like to meet some other people, for families to meet other families? And that was a powerful experience. And we had children there from ages 5 to 17.
Yep. Like I say, there is always a bonding when somebody else has been through a similar experience. And just knowing there's another mother who experienced what she did, or there's more children who experienced what my children did.
It was also a powerful experience because those who were present all had experienced the death of a parent. And we had some of our volunteers present with us, and some of the volunteers had experienced the death of an adult child who was a parent. We had a volunteer there who was experienced the death of a sibling. And then my husband happened to attend, and anybody who knows my story knows that my husband and I don't have any children, and what's powerful for us is he lost his father when he was 10, and so he wants to make sure that children do not have to go through the pain that he had to go through.
Because, yeah, really, at that era, if you will, your dad died, so let's go back to school.
Yes, and that was very much the way it was handled back in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he says it's important for children to know that they're not alone in this.
Yeah, I can remember an experience. I was a teenager, and I got invited to this really cool party. The first time I got invited to a cool party, which happened to be the same day, was a funeral for my uncle.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't want to go. And my mom, we were at the kitchen table, and my mom got up and went off crying. She was upset. I didn't realize the gravity of it. And my dad came in and said, you know what you did, don't you? I said, well, I don't need, that was it. That was the only talking we exchanged about the death of my uncle, my mom's brother.
Yes.
Things just, you just go on with life at that time.
Yeah, and that was very much the way it was. And so what we try to do through this family gathering that we had on Saturday was we like to provide opportunities at the family level for folks to debrief what occurred with the death of a loved one, help them share their tears, trust each other with the tears. And then we like to offer opportunities for families to come and be family. And that is what Saturday night was. And it was, as my husband said, it was just a good feel-good night.
Yeah, and it all involved a lot of activities.
Oh, yes. And anybody who is familiar at the Pickering House, we have a meeting room called the Gorsuch Room. And in that room, we moved at the tables. You had a chance to see me moving those tables earlier in the day and trying to make room.
I was going to help, but I was just busy.
And so we had wall-to-wall people in this room, and we had a wall of food. And folks brought in lots of food. Ernie, one of our social workers who helps with our children's program, made 80 hot dogs. And we had hot dogs and chili and beans, and we had a special special cake made for us by Linda, the cook over at the Pickering House. And we had lots of time. So folks got there. And one of the first activities that we had the children do is to take permanent markers and to decorate a parachute. Because we believe a lot in team activities, and one of our activities involves a parachute.
And for those in the studio audience, we have the parachute with us.
We do. We wish you could see it visually, but we will try to describe it the best that we can. It's big. So it is a 12-foot parachute, and the children decorated half of it. We're going to use half this year and then half next year that we'll be decorating. So we'll be adding pictures. But what is powerful is I met all of these families at a time shortly after a loved one's death. So it's a time filled with a lot of tears, a lot of sadness, a lot of did we do everything that we could? And we at Fair Hope tried to eliminate the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. When you look at this parachute, it is decorated with bright colors. There are messages of hope. There are words of encouragement. And all that the children were asked to do was decorate this parachute. We didn't give them any other direction than that.
I know some had scripture passages on there. They had all sorts of things about, you know, life goes on and you have to walk through the darkness, basically, is what they're saying.
And one of them, if I could quote directly, says, "Always remember, life is like a sun. It does go down, but it always comes back up."
Oh.
And that was written by a teen who experienced the death of a parent. I think that is powerful. And the picture associated with it is a bright sun. We have people who were wanting their loved one's name on there, their family's name on there. And I think that that's important, that they don't feel that they have to hide this and that they can share it. And then what was fun is after they decorated this, they stood out on the green space outside the Pickering House and they got to play with it. So it was almost like they were, in my mind, releasing their cares and their woes. As they're, you know, fluffing this parachute up and having fun. And they were laughing together. And that is the important part, after all the tears, that they can heal and have time as family and have time to laugh.
I know that's the important thing, the activity, and they're seeing it so they know it's okay to laugh. Some people think you shouldn't laugh, your dad died.
Right.
You know, there's certain expectations involved.
And I think it's a little comforting to be able to do that in a company of others who know, you know, that have experienced the death of a loved one. We had lots of food. We had time for fellowship. Again, Ernie, who wasn't able to join us today, he does balloon sculptures. And so he was showing the kids how to do balloon sculptures. And that was bringing a lot of time for families to step outside their little family unit in the room and to cross mingle, which was also interesting. And to see kids who had never met each other, they've only met me, to sit and have a chance to talk with each other. And that was important to see.
That's the people listening. A lot of people do know Ernie. He's very outgoing, and the kids love him. And he's one who makes his little hat balloons with little dachshunds.
We actually have a nickname for Ernie. I don't know if you know. When I talk about him, I call him my tall, loud friend. So we now have a nickname for him, TLF, and that is how he introduces himself to the children. Because he is tall, he is loud, and he is a friend.
Yep, he is. He's got a laugh that's contagious.
Very
and
much
relaxes
so.
The people. Mm-hmm. And Ernie is, well, has been through things, so he understands.
Yes, he does. And he personally shares that pain with, you know, anybody that he has a chance to meet and to go on. So it was, you know, a great time. And then after we had a chance for the food time and the balloon sculptures, then we went back outside and our music therapist, Aaron and Jess, had drums set up and they had a drum circle sitting in the grass outside the Pickering House. And it was interesting, again, for people who had never met each other to work as a team and to carry on a rhythm and to take turns and to smile. And again, that was just powerful for me to see, because as I walked away, I, you know, felt very blessed because I met them with tears and I got to see them smile. And that gives me hope to go meet the next family who has a set of tears.
Well, you know, I've been to quite a few health fairs and I do a lot of outreach for the community. And I hear all the time how you've transformed the children, where the parents can't believe what happened.
Well, and again, I think our role at Fair Hope, and my role personally as an educator, that is my background, is to help support families and help them, parents, get through this moment. And it was just, you know, real powerful just to see how that all played. And what we always love about our evenings, especially when Ernie's there, and you've had to fill in for Ernie when he couldn't be there.
Oh,
we end with what we know as our group hugs. So you see a group of 30 people hugging outside the Pickering House, all centered around Ernie.
Yeah.
People who did not know each other, people who needed to feel touched, cared for. And so, I was in the middle of the hug, so I can't tell you what it looked like from the outside. But you know what? I'm thinking it was pretty powerful. It felt powerful. powerful to have all these people come together.
Yep. And nobody stands back. They all get in the hug. I've been there.
Yes, because we had to put you in the middle before.
Yep. I was the spoke, not the spoke, I was the axle, I guess, you'd look at it.
And coming in there. And, you know, Ernie always tells folks that for mental health, you need at least 12 to 16 hugs a day. Well, I think he had 30 plus, so he must have been filled up for a couple days worth there.
He's got some hugs in the bank there.
Yeah, he's got some filled up. And again, it was just, it was powerful just to see. And, you know, it also made me think, Rick, that there's a greater need in this community than what we have fully realized.
Oh, there
is. You know, and the grounds of the Pickering House are beautiful, but we were at max capacity in the Gorsuch room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're hoping to expand in that regard, the grief end of what we do. And you're right, most of what we do on the grief end of it does involve people who have not experienced hospice.
Right.
Many of them who have gone through the hospice with their family member are a little, I'm going to say, more accepting. It's still rough, but they're still going to make it.
Well, and we have a chance to oftentimes meet those families before a death.
Yep.
And so we can help educate them on what is to come and help, in my role, help guide family members on discussion conversations to have and help support them. We had a case a couple weeks ago where we had a loved one die suddenly, and I instructed the mother on how to guide her child. And by the end of the day, she's hugging her and said, "We can do this. We can do this together." And I was off in the wings. I didn't have to be up front helping with that.
Yep. Well, it's time to take a short break. We're going to be right back. And when we do come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about how Tracy got involved.
Oh, okay.
Stay tuned.